abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never
to see you here today. I'm going to do something kind of different. Of course, that's not unusual to you that I do different things. I've got five passages I'm going to read to begin with, and then we'll get that, which is part of the text message, or the part of the message. So, beginning with Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Genesis 1, verse number 1. We'll start there. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn there. If you were to describe the new year, how would you describe it? What words would you put into perspective as you're looking forward to 2025? Although we've already been in 2025 a few days, but this is the first Sunday for us to be together. And so how would you, maybe if you had a few days to think about it? There are many churches that come up with mottos and things that they say. I saw several mottos. Something to the words of let's thrive in 2025, and thriving in 2025 is another terminology. But there are many people who come up with different things, some new mottos, new programs, new springboards, if you would, of what you're going to do going into 2025. Maybe something like this you would come up with: a new day's dawning. Maybe you come up with like this: a new life. Let me get back to that so you can see it. A new life, a new way. And the reason I say new way, that little picture was created by AI. So AI is a new wave. I didn't draw that picture or find that picture. AI drew it myself for me. I told it what to do, and it did that picture. Then there is this particular, a new beginning or a new hope. You find a dead stump and a little tree comes out of it, bringing new life. And then we're going to look at this. Let's begin with blessings. We can look back in 2024 and regret, be sorry for all the things that happened or didn't happen or you didn't accomplish in 2024. In 2025, you can look forward and you see all of these mountains ahead of you that you got to climb, or even maybe a valley or two that you're going to go through that you know that's happening, or maybe even the unknown. But before we begin anything, let's begin with blessing. Because if you're here, I am blessed to be here with you at this church, preaching to this group of people. I'm blessed to be able to worship God the very first Sunday in 2025 with you. And I'm glad that I am here with you today, worshiping with you. I hope you're glad that you're with me today in 2025. And that is a blessing in itself. The blessing, the fact that you're able to hear, you're able to eat, you're able to clothe yourself, you're able to get up out of the bed yourself. You're able to drive. Capability is coming to the church. You have a place to worship. There are some people today who don't have a place to worship. The hurricanes that took place in the Carolinas, there are churches, some of them were destroyed and devastated. Some of them don't even have homes still. They're living in tents. There are people all over the world scattered because of war, not having a place to stay. In Europe and Ukraine and Israel, where the bombs are parading this morning, you're not facing that. So you are truly blessed this morning. So take a deep breath, and that's what this message is about, the blessings of God. And we start with Genesis 1 in verse number 1, and the Bible says this: in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And let's just start with the first phrase: in the beginning God. He's always been and always will be. That's a blessing in itself. The fact that you know Him and He's introduced to you, the fact that He's around you, the fact is the beginning of all life began with God. The beginning of happiness, love, peace, joy began with God. The beginning of unity, nations, began with man, but God watched over them and He promised them that He would be their God and He would be our God. So in the beginning, there is God. That is your first blessing of your calendar year, God. And it should begin every day of your life, God. It should end with every day of your life, God, because He is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, and He never fails. So in your day, let's just begin with that. Another strange passage I'm going to read to you. You won't know the significance of it till later on, but Leviticus chapter 25, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the atonement, day of atonement, shall you make a trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family." They were free. This was a moment in time of history that God allowed the children of Israel to have all their debts turned in, all their slaves set free, all the people and all the land were to rest on this 50th year in their celebration. And they were to celebrate, rejoice what God had done for them. Every 7 years, what you may not know in Israel's history, God told them to have the land to rest. So they worked 7 years and they tilled the ground, they plowed the ground, they, you know, fed the animals, et cetera, et cetera. And on that seventh year, they would rest from all of their labor's work. They would not plow anything, they would not grow anything. And it was to teach them to trust in God, rely on God. But then every 50th year, they would go a little bit extra. They would not only rest from the land, but they would set all people free from their debt. If you owed $1 million to somebody, the guy said, "Hey, you don't owe me anything." That'd be great, you know, today, if the president said, "Hey, no taxes, you don't owe us this year." Woo, we'd get excited. And all your credit card bills paid for, your house paid for, everything paid for, everything done. It would be great. It was a sign of setting them free. Then Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 1. And may I say, Genesis 1:1, your blessing is the fact that you're alive, and it begins with God. Leviticus chapter 25 that we just read, the blessing is that you're free. You're truly free in Jesus Christ. He set you free from your sins. And then now in Psalms chapter 1, you can have the blessings of God. In verse number 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, whatsoever he doth shall prosper. And then he goes on in verse number 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And you can truly have blessing according to that particular psalm. And then finally, the last text, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 3, the blessings of God. This is the Beatitudes as is known. It is the first message that Jesus preached after coming down from the mountain, being tempted of God. And this is the start of the beginning of his ministry on this earth. And the Bible reads like this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And he goes on in verse number 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, and so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You can be a blessing. Not only you can have blessing, but you can truly be a blessing in a broken world. If you notice those statements that were made, blessed are the broken in spirit, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are those that are hunger. There's trouble in the world. And you can be a blessing to someone as well as have a blessed life. I read so many quotes about blessing and happiness, and I was going to give you some today, but my eyes got cross-eyed reading all of these, and my mind got very disturbed reading many of these. I read famous people, rich people, actors that are in the world that are people look up to, and they were asked the question, what is happiness? And they would give their estimation of what happiness is, and most of them by far would say being with family, doing what is good for you to do, you know, don't worry about the crowd, just do what is happy for you to do. One particular actor said that his happiness is in what he does, and most people associate happiness with morals, and his bottom line was, I don't know anything about morals. And I thought, how sad that you don't even think about morals when it comes to doing happiness, because morals should be at the top of doing happiness. If you rob a bank, it may make you happy, but it's not moral for you to rob a bank and steal from someone. It makes somebody sad when you do something happy for yourself. Most of those quotes were self-happiness or self-helping themselves. And it is about family. It wasn't had anything taboo about giving people and helping people and loving people. It wasn't anything. And all of those people that had all the money and all the pleasures and all the things of life, the biggest concern was themselves. Denzel Washington, one of those actors, who now I understand has turned to preaching the gospel. As far as I know, he doesn't act anymore. I thought there was a very profound quote he gave. You pray for rain, you got to deal with the mud too. That's just how it is. And it's true if you think about it. If you're going to pray for rain and blessings, you're going to have to deal with the muddy days. And if you're going to have blessings and want blessings in your life, you've got to look for happiness in those cloudy days and the things that don't go well for you. Because after all, you can be happy in a moment that you create for yourself. You can feel good about yourself by doing something that makes you happy in that moment. But after that moment, when the music stops, when the lights go off, when the cameras stop running, where's your happiness? I believe everybody desires to be happy and wants to be happy, but if you want to be blessed and have blessings, you got to understand there's some shadowy days that are going to happen and bad things. Laura Story, you well know her as a Christian artist. She sings and writes books, and she's a speaker and so on and so forth. She wrote a song called Blessings. And in that song, the chorus goes like this. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to make you know you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? It may take a rough day to make you realize how blessed you are. And when you look outside yourself and you see all these other people today, the emergency room is filled with people. You don't know that because you're not there. But you're not thinking about it either. You may be thinking about your goodness and blessing, how warm you are. There are people today who are living outside in tents. Not only in this world, in this community, but other communities as well. And you're blessed to have clothes on your back and shoes on your feet, and you can get gloves, and you got a jacket, I'm sure. I saw a couple of people with hats on. You're doing well. But there are other people that are not doing so well. And it may come to a place where you're living like they are. And it's those times when you look back and you realize, hey, I am blessed. I wrote down this. If blessings are your focus, then you must worship and rejoice the hardships. If that's your focus, to be blessed, that's, I want to be happy in 2025. I want to get all that I want in life, then you got to understand there's going to be hardships in 2025. It's not always a bed of roses. So I've got three things I wrote down here we're going to discuss. First of all is this. Life and living and happiness all begins with God. In the beginning, God. It begins with Him. Life. Living life. He gave you the breath of life. He gave you the ability to live this life. He put in this world the sun, the moon, the stars. And by the way, if you don't know it, this month is a unique month. And the fact that there's going to be six planets line up, you can see them at night. All six planets, not all six, there's nine of them, but you can see six planets that will be lined up towards the moon. In the first part of January, you're going to see four, and then eventually the six will be visible, and you'll be able to see them. The handiwork of God, that normally you wouldn't be able to see those planets with the naked eye, but now you will be able to. And it's only going to happen, the next time it happens is like 2038. You're not going to see it again, so you need to get out there and see the stars. Look at the stars. Look up. God has doused this world with beautiful butterflies and birds and trees and the sunlight and the beautiful blue sky and wonderful big boisterous clouds that come over us that we can name animals and all kinds of things that we can look at and figure out what they are and cause our mind to think about God when we're not even thinking about God. He puts the pests too, rattlesnakes and mouse and spiders and lice and bed bugs and all of those are here too. All for us to experience life. Psalm 16, verse number 11 says this, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Psalms 34 and verse number 8 says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalms 21 and verse number 6 says this, For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. Listen very closely. In this world today, and you may be one of them, or you at least may be knowing someone, there are people who are living in a world of misery. They are totally unhappy. They have an unhappy countenance. Everything about them they complain about. If you go to the grocery store, if you go, you know, the gym, anywhere, you will hear a complaint. I guarantee you. How many of you have heard a complaint this morning? No, please don't point out who that person is. If you live this life, you breathe this air, and you live among people, you're going to hear a complaint. And there are some people who just, their life is not happy unless they're unhappy. You get what I said? I mean, they make themselves unhappy. They're miserable. They don't smile. They don't sing. They don't have any goodness to say. And when, even when something positive is said, they're grumpy. You know anybody like that? God, don't tell me. Don't. There are people like that who are miserable. And those people who are living in unhappiness, they are total misery to be around. You don't want to be around them. And you don't want to be that person. Then on the other side, there are some people who are living this world and they're trying to do life without God. They think it's folly. They think it's fake. They think it's cliche. They think it's, you know, old-fashioned. They think it's not cool, not in style. And if I were to say that I'm a Christian and go to church, well, people will laugh at me, make fun of me, and so that I'm going to, you know, be like a mongoose, bury my head, or an ostrich, bury my head in the sand and not say anything. People who are trying to do life without God, they're empty. There's an emptiness. There's a sadness about that. The two are have correlation with each other. But there are some people, they can do family things. They can go to picnics. They can go to ball games. They can go to Buffalo Bills. They can go shopping. They do all those things, but they're unhappy living in a miserable world. But then there are other people who are just simply not living this life with God. They don't care anything about Him. They think He's funny. They think He's, you know, goofy. They think maybe he's, you know, childish, elementary to think about God. But in the beginning, there is God. And without God, nothing exists. So you consider that point. How in the world does this all exist? The stars, the planets, the moon, the green grass. What is it all for? Those that try to do life without God, they come up with a dead end. Their life will be destroyed. The Bible clearly says in that Psalms that we just read, Psalms 1 and verse number 5 says, Therefore, because of this, the ungodly, and by the way, the ungodly doesn't mean people who are doing ungodly things like stealing and partying and all that garbage. The ungodly simply is a person who is doing things without God, who doesn't know God. So the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly will have no input in the end of time. The ungodly will have no one standing in the gap for them. No one will be pleading their case before a judge. For the righteous will have Christ pleading our case before God, the righteous judge, but the ungodly will have nothing to stand on. They will not be able to even speak, to give their opinion, to offer an excuse. They are just simply judged and destroyed according to the Scriptures. It's a rough way to go, living life without God. I can't I may even imagine going through this life without God, without someone to help, someone to pray to, someone to console and comfort you. If you don't want to have anything to do with God, don't even listen to Him. Don't read His Bible, don't come to church, and be miserable all your life. You're going to end up in total destruction. But when tragedy strikes, when 9-1-1 happened, everybody prayed. There wasn't any atheists in the world then. When things are good, we're blessed. We don't even know God. We don't care about Him. He's foreign to us. The second thing, not only life, living, and happiness begins with God, but life and living this life is not the source of happiness. This life is filled with sorrow. Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You don't have to live very long to realize that there is trouble in the world. Matter of fact, when you were born, you were slapped on your rump and you began to cry. Hello? Y'all still awake out there? You had trouble at the very beginning. You had conflict at the very beginning. You just wanted to live your life, be left alone, and you know, stay in your mama's womb and be fed all your life. But no, somebody had to cough you up, and there you are, boom. You're getting slapped on your rump, jerked around, stuff taken out of your nose and mouth. You didn't like all that stuff. You didn't want that to happen. The source of this life is not happiness in living it. There are some people think that, you know, you get things and that makes you happy. Well, this life is filled with mud as well as the rain that you're wanting for. It is those things that you're searching for that actually robs you of your happiness and the fulfillment of what God created you to be, and that is to replenish the earth. If you're only looking for something to make you happy in this whole big world, then you're leaving out the biggest part of your total happiness, and that is to help other people. God created you to replenish the earth. He even made that commandment to them, and it's a necessity for us to replenish the earth. How are you going to eat unless you plant something? How are you going to enjoy something if you don't paint it, if you don't take care of it? How many of you have animals? Come on, y'all be honest. You got animals. How many of you love animals? How many of you love the animal you got? You know? They're a companion to you. They were given to you. They were born in this world for some reason or another. How many of you have a companion? A spouse, a girlfriend, or a friend? How many's got one of those? They are there for your help and your guidance. And if you're only looking to make yourself happy, all of those people are vain in your life. The butterflies, the blue sky, the planets, the green grass, all of those things mean nothing to you. Is that really the kind of world you want to live in? Dark, gray, no colors, no animals, no companion. Just leave me alone. Go hide in a cave. Is that happiness? You getting everything you want, building the house you want, having the car you want, and closing everybody else out? Can you imagine living in a house that's got a gate, that's got a code, and only certain people can come to your house? Visit. Nobody can come over and knock on your door and say, can I borrow some butter? Can I borrow some sugar? Hey, you want to come over and have some ribs with me? If you're rich and famous, you don't have neighbors like that. You get all you want and have all those things, you close out the rest of the world. The Beatitudes, I don't have to reiterate them to you, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but blessed or happy is the person who is a poor spirit, the person who mourns, the person who is hungry, the person who gives in, the person who gives up things, the person who gives way. You remember he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. A person that forgives, and you wonder, why I always have to turn in? Why I always have to give in? It's because the Bible says you'll have mercy if you have mercy on others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall have peace. You don't always have to be in a turmoil or fight, getting against people. If you want to have peace, you got to be peaceable. Yeah, it means you're going to have to swallow your pride. Yeah, it means that you're not going to get all that you want. The Bible says, blessed are those who are pursued or persecuted. The blessed person, the happy person, is the person that's not focused on themselves, but they're focused on other people outside their realm to make themselves, to make them happy. You see, when it comes down to it, fame, listen, I'm going to give you some wise words here, and you test me to see if I'm wrong. Fame, friends, family, and fortunes will fade. All of those things that people want and try to get. I want to have a family. I want to get married. I want to have a house. I want to get a car. I want to have money. I want to make $1 million. I want to be famous. I want to achieve this. And I want to achieve that. Without ever including anyone else in your world, you will be a miserable, miserable person. Because all of those things will fade away. What will you do when you lose your loved one? What will you do when your brother separates you from you because of money? What will you do when all your friends leave, they get married, and you're left behind? Your friends will constantly change. You'll grab some, and you'll have some, and you'll lose others, like trees off a, leaves off a tree. But it's what you make of it. It's how and what kind of friends you make. The greatest friend you have is God, for He is like the Father who's waiting for you to come home. Unlike the prodigal who took all of his earnings and spent it all, and he lost his friends, lost his fortune, lost everything he had, but the Father was still at home waiting for him to come home. And in God, who is the beginning of all of life and your happiness, has always been there for you. He has never failed you. He has never forsaken you. You may have turned your back on Him. You may have ran away. You may be embarrassed by Him. You may have buried your head like an ostrich. But God has never failed you. And you're alive today for that very reason. He has bestowed upon you mercy. He's bestowed upon you grace. He's given you love. He's given you peace. He's put people in your lives to make you stronger. He's had situations happen in your life because to build character in you. And you can complain about it and be snobbish about it, prideful about it, or you can be thankful God did those things for you. And in that, you're blessed if you can do that. Psalms 121 says this, I will lift mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. The Lord shall preserve thy goings out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It is the Lord who will help you. Listen, the hope of Israel was the fact that God was going to set them free, lead them out of that land of bondage. He was going to lead them like slaves being free. And they were all excited about Israel being let free. I mentioned the Jubilee and that it happens every 50 years. For centuries, Israel has not celebrated the Jubilee. And the reason they haven't celebrated the Jubilee is because in order for them to truly celebrate the Jubilee, all 12 tribes of Israel have to be in the land. And the 12 tribes right now are scattered throughout the world. I honestly believe, I'm not a prophet, I'm not smart, I'm not intelligent, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a theologian, but I truly believe, heart of heart, soul and soul, that war that's going on in Israel is not about destroying the enemy, but it's about bringing the brothers home. And when the brothers come home, they can celebrate that 50th year Jubilee. There are some churches, even the Catholic Pope, has called this year the year of Jubilee, the pilgrim of hope. Whether it is that or not on a calendar, if you want to name it the Jubilee, you can. But it's more about resting, relying in the Lord, and rejoicing for what He has done. And God has done some great, wonderful things in your life. And no matter what happens in 2025, whatever happened in 2024, you just trust in God and let it happen. About them resting from the land and not producing any crops, it was about them trusting God to provide for them. And I asked you, how many of you today would stop going to the grocery store and you would say, I'm going to stop going to the grocery store, I'm not buying any of the junk that they have because it's killing you anyway, and I'm just going to let God provide? Any takers? How many of you say, well, I'm going to sell everything that I have, I'm going to give it away to the poor? That's what he told the young rich ruler. And just rest and rely on God to provide this year. We're afraid. The bottom line is we're afraid. We don't think God will do it. But in the beginning, God. And He has provided for you through all of your life. He'll provide for you in 2025. There is this sense in the world, we're all scared. We're on pins and needles, afraid of what's going to happen. What is going to happen is going to happen. I can't change that. You can't change that. But I know somebody who can and who's got the whole world in his hands, and it's God. Amen? Life is hard. It's tough. But I know who can get it through. We can get through this world through it, through God, through His power, through His strength. Lastly is this. Living life. Life, living, and happiness. Its total success lies in a deep relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not into the door, but into the sheepfold, but climbeth some of the way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by his name. And he leadeth them. And then verse 4, and he putteth forth his sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. And if I could say anything in the world, that deep relationship should lead to you following the Lord and quit listening to the garbage that you're hearing to make you unhappy, unsettled, and worried. This thing I know, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come and bring you to where I am also. Do you believe that? If you believe that with all your heart, you have no worries. And you shouldn't be listening to strangers who's going to take you down another path. There's only one path for you to go. And it's with the Good Shepherd. In verse number 9, he goes on to say, I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And I came that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Going back to Psalms 1, he says this, and I want to reiterate to you what he says. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth, he shall prosper. There's two deliberate actions in that blessed psalm, and it's this. The blessed person does not hang out with the wrong people who intends to do the wrong things, nor does he listen to the advice of those who are doing wrong. The second thing is this. He is driven, the blessed man, is driven by the passion of the Lord. He's trusting in him, respecting him, and desiring to be with him. The blessed man, I'll repeat it, is not hanging out with the wrong people who are going to do the wrong thing and who's talking about the wrong thing. The second thing is, a blessed man is one who has a passion, a desire to trust in God, to rely upon Him, to respect Him for who He is, that He's holy, that He is God, and your desire is to be with Him. In that song, Laura Story, Blessings, you may not know the story about her. She was married to a man that was a football athlete prep player. 2 years after they got married, they were on their way to a great life. And he went to the doctor and had a brain tumor. The prognosis was not good for him. He eventually ended up being paralyzed. And she made this statement one time in an interview. Sometimes life does not turn out the way we want it to, but we can't stop trusting God. He has something bigger and better in store for us. He's the only one who can see the big picture. Keep on trusting God, especially when you go through trials, because that is often when you experience God's greatest blessing. She now has 4 kids, and her husband's still alive, when the prognosis was he didn't look like he was going to live. And hence, she wrote that song, Blessings. Another song that we sing today, written by author A. Luther, Jesus Never Fails. Most of you know the song, No One Ever Cares For Me, made famous by Charles Weigel, who was sung in Billy Graham Crusades. That song is similar to this one. And this songwriter actually sat down with him and said, why did you write this song? What is in this song that spoke to you to write it? And he told the story about that song. And in it, it kind of prompted some ideas to author Luther. Author Luther was born and raised in Pennsylvania, just south of Erie. He moved to New York and married a young lady here and lived most of his life in the Buffalo area, south of Buffalo. And he was in an evangelistic conference in Sunset, Kentucky, when he got a telegram, because there was no Instagram, there was no Facebook, there was no internet, there was no email, so he had telegram. Or it was telewoman. I mean, you can tell that too. Word spreads fast. But anyway, he got a telegram that his son was very bad sick. It was about 600 miles for him to come home, and he realized that there's not much he could do, because at that time, again, there is no fast-moving vehicles, there's no planes, there's no buses, and there's no trains. It's just a horse and pulley. When he heard that statement, the news that his son was really bad sick, He was a musician, and he sat down to a piano. And this is his words. He was worried and homesick. He sat down to the piano, and his fingers wandered idly across the piano keys. And a simple melody developed. And he said, "When I was finished, a peace had settled over my anxious heart, and I knew the God who never fails would answer the prayer." And he did. And just soon after he finished that song, there was a knock at the door. It was a messenger. And the messenger said, "Your son has died." And he got the answer, "All is well." Jesus never fails. He didn't even fail him in that moment. And over the period of time of life, while Luther thought that this song was just for him, it was a simple message that many people needed to hear, that Jesus never fails. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail. And I take that into 2025, and I hope you do as well. I'm going to ask Dave to ready Julie, and I'm giving this impromptu on you because I know she can play anything, to come and play a song. It's not Blessings, by the way, if you're worried. But I asked you these questions this morning. Is Jesus your all in all? Is He your hope, all that you're hoping for? Is He all you need? More importantly, is Jesus your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior? Or if you don't know Him, there's no happiness. And I trust as you go into 2025 that you will have a better relationship with Him. We're going to sing hymn number 444. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Let's all stand. And I want y'all to sing it like He is your blessed assurance. He is your all in all.
Thank you.
is a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. And she was blind. She sang another song, played another song. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to be forever. And she wrote this song. This is her life story. Blessed assurance. And if she can go through life blind, not seeing all this beauty, not beholding this beauty, I wish we could all do that and have that passion for God. Let's sing that last song, verse. And I know what Julie wants to do, so I'm going to try to help lead it right at the end. Here we go. Said, he's your only hope in this miserable world, and I hope that you hold on to him dearly. No matter what avails this year, you're going to make it, because in the beginning, God. Amen. I want to challenge you to do something. I heard David Jeremiah say this. I have a bunch of books here. They're blank. But I challenge you to get a book this year, blank. Call it a blessing book. Label it January 5th, 2025, or January 1, whatever you want to do. And write down the blessings that God gives to you every day. And at the end of the year, we'll go back and look and see what all God's done for you. And the first blessing I shared with you this year for us together is the fact that I am here with you in church worshiping. That's a blessing. So I challenge you to go back, and you may have more than just one blessing, but just write down the blessings that God gives to you and quit being so sour. Right? Quit being so uptight. Quit blowing your horn. Quit fussing at people. And I'm making a vow that my family will know how I am. I confess my sins to you, but we're going to do that in 2025. Be blessed. I'm going to ask Dave, if he would, to lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings that you do give us. And we tend to lose sight of those. When the trials come, when the hard times come, when things don't go like we want them to go, and we have to wait longer than we want to for the things that we think you would or should be doing in our lives, it's hard to see the blessings. I pray that you'll help us every day to know that we are blessed, to count those blessings, to keep track of those blessings, so that we can see how much you will bless us in 2025. And we pray that we will always be depending on you for the things that we need, and then praising you for the blessings that you give us in providing those things. Pray that you'll be with us as we go to our homes, that you'll bless us with a safe trip home and a good day the rest of the day, and that we won't forget the things that we've learned this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray.